morning. But if God calls you to go, hey, I'm not going to try to stop you. But keep that in mind. I've asked you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 13. I just want to read two verses there this morning as we think about the coming week. Love this time of year, as we think about all the goodness of God, all the good things that He's done for us, the bountiful blessings. I don't think it's a bad thing that we take a day out of the year and we call it Thanksgiving. I think it's absolutely a great thing that we recognize that. But we as believers this morning understand where our thanks is directed to. It's not to some force or power unnamed, but we have an object of our praise this morning. So I just want to read two verses here in Hebrews chapter number 13 and starting. In Hebrews 13, start with verse 15. It says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Now, I know we're jumping in the middle here this morning in the book of Hebrews, this great book, and we've identified it here many times when you go here, this book of been called Better Things, as it would contrast or juxtapose the old covenant as it laid the two side by side and looked at the old and this new covenant that you and I are in today. And as it many times would compare the sacrifices, the high priest, and different things like that. And as he kind of culminates and brings all this together, this writing unto, as it's called, the book of Hebrews, it's written to the Hebrews, but also to us this morning in the sense that we gain from the great message that was given to them, and we have it for our good and for our exhortation this morning. But in regards to sacrifice unto this nation or to the Hebrew, they were very familiar with it. So if a word of sacrifice would come up, then, you know, it would be very familiar to them. Maybe not so much to us in where we are right now, but we do understand sacrifice. It really, when you think about anything we do for God, in a sense, this morning, is a sacrifice. If you, whether of your giving of your money or you're giving of your time, whatever it might be, you're giving a sacrifice to God. And, you know, if you're like me, it's a good feeling, isn't it? It feels good to minister unto the needs of other people. I know that's not why we do it, but I know in times when I've had the opportunity to minister in some way, it always, I leave blessed in my own self. Because even though, you know, you may not see immediate fruit from it, you know that you're doing what God's called us to do. He's called us to minister. He's called us to serve. And so in regards to a sacrifice, they were very familiar with that whole system. I did this. It's not necessarily for the purpose of filling time this morning, because I don't necessarily need to do that. But when you think about the Old Testament sacrifices, there were at least five. I know it could be argued there were more than that, but there were at least five types of sacrifices. And I just went down and listed the first three, and I'm going to divide them up into really three groups. The first, or actually two groups. The first being that group of the sacrifices that were given on account of transgression, or as in one place there, they're called the sin offerings. Or in another place, referenced as the guilt offering. And then also there in Old Testament Scripture, if you want to look at this, you can look throughout the book of Leviticus, starting with chapter 1 and really going through most of the chapter. And the burnt offerings being the offering of atonement that was made in the Old Testament covenant and the Old Testament time that was really illustrating their devotion to God, but also in a covering of their sin. And so there were these sacrifices that were given for atonement or to cover their sin. Now, here in a minute, we're going to read Hebrews chapter number 10 as we look at this better way that we have now in Christ. But I want us to see, first off this morning, that these different types of offerings that were given. This burnt offering, it was an offering of ascent. It was an offering of atonement of sin and illustration of devotion to God. It could have been a sheep or a goat or a dove or a pigeon. If, you know, when an Old Testament saint would commit some type of sin, they would offer a sacrifice unto God for the covering of that sin, whatever it might have been. And of course, we know how that the high priest, as Hebrews tells us, entered into the most holy place once a year and offered a sacrifice for the sins of all the people. And so these offerings were given for that, for, to really to bring man in a sense at that point in fellowship with God through the work of a high priest that would go in and sprinkle the blood. And because of that sacrifice, there was an atonement made for the sins of the people, to where they could have fellowship at that level with God. Now, outside of those sacrifices, there were also the ones that stood really to demonstrate a relationship to God. Because they had offered a sacrifice of atonement, now they had these peace offerings that they could give unto God, whether they be voluntary. You know, they weren't necessarily just done because they had to be done. They would offer a grain offering to God. In the time of their harvest, they would go and really just offer this grain or whatever it is that they had harvested, their first fruits unto the Lord, signifying, God, thank you for this blessing, but also even beyond that, God, that you would continue to bless. Lord, that you would continue to supply our needs. And so all of that was this system of sacrifice that was given. And of course, we know this morning, if you'll turn over just a couple chapters in Hebrews chapter number 10, I won't read the whole thing. We've looked at this before. But just for our purposes this morning, if you look in Hebrews chapter number 10, starting with verse number 1 there, it says this, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. And that's probably where we get that book of better things. And not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So that was the shortfall of that first covenant. Those first sacrifices could never make the comer unto perfect. Never. There was never a complete clearing of the conscience. There was never a perfection that was met because of these sacrifices, because it was impossible that the blood of bulls and goats would take away sin. And so it's important that we use that word. It was a covering. It wasn't a removal. And so let's read on a little farther. It says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? That's a question. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore he cometh, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, there has had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. He says, I come to do thy will, O God. That's a parenthesis there. Let me read it without the parentheses. I come to do thy will, O God. Now let's add the parentheses this morning. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Now, what book do you reckon he's talking about there? The Old Testament scripture. He says, in the volume of it. He says, it's written of me. So when we talk about sacrifices, when we talk about the offerings, when we talk about these sin offerings, these burnt offerings that were given, here Christ is saying, it is written of me. Verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering, he's repeating this, for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Amen. He took away the first. For what purpose? To establish the second. Never again to go back to that first mode. Amen. Never again to go back to that sacrificial system where animals and offerings were to be made on behalf of the people. Why? Because in Christ, the law is fulfilled. In Christ, plus nothing. We don't mix them. We don't say, well, you know, there was some good in the old covenant, so let's take it and let's mix it with the new. As a matter of fact, Jesus made it very clear that you didn't put new wine in old wineskins. Amen. He made it very clear that the first was taken away that the second might be established. All right, so we never want to be guilty of mixing that. And it may sound good, it may sound right, and it may sound very Jewish and very holy. But the fact is, he took away the first that he might establish the second. Now let's read on a little farther. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Here it is, once for all. Amen. Once and for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So you and I will agree this morning, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, I want to say this, that one sacrifice has been offered and is finished. The work is finished. Never again to have to shed blood. Never again to have to offer a sacrifice. But what I want to say this morning is this. The sacrifice, the system of sacrifice, is not completely done away with. Well, you just said it was. Let's read back in Hebrews 13. By him, therefore, amen. Everybody say, by him. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. All right, so when we think about all those sacrifices, what all they stood for, the sacrifices of atonement, the sacrifices of the peace offering, they would come and offer these sacrifices of dedication. I was reading there in the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah dedicated the wall upon its completion, he was dedicating this wall unto the Lord, or for the purpose of God, and of course it was to protect the people of God. And he called all the people together, and he called them together, and it said, for this purpose, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. So Nehemiah calls all the people together, and they just have a big worship service. Amen. He calls them all and says, let's dedicate. We're dedicating this wall. And when we dedicate something, it means just that we're setting it apart for the purpose of God. And here, this dedication time, or this time of sacrifice, was accompanied by singing, by thanksgiving, by cymbals and psalteries, and with harps. Psalm 69 and 30 says it this way, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now, what we're talking about this morning is this sacrifice of praise. We're talking about giving our sacrifice unto God. If you're looking for what type of sacrifice God is looking for today, he's simply looking for a sacrifice of praise. Now, this sacrifice of praise that we're giving unto God is not adding to our atonement. Amen? This is a voluntary sacrifice. This is a sacrifice that we give because of what God has done for us. When the psalmist wrote these words, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. It means this, that he would lift him up. When you magnify something, you're making it large. You're making it big. Now, you can't make God any bigger than what he is, right? I mean, he's God. He didn't get any bigger. He's great and greatly to be praised. He's holy, holy, holy. He says, I'm the Lord and I change not. And so whether you praise God or not, he does not shrink in size. But what we're doing this morning when we come together in our time of worship and thanksgiving, it's more than we're just getting together today to hear a few songs and maybe to be entertained. You're coming to offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Amen. This is a service. This is a ministry. And whether or not you say, well, I don't play an instrument or I don't sing or I don't do that. But we come together in our time that we've set aside, and the hallowed time that we've come together, and we're saying, Father, because of the great things that you have done, I offer to you this sacrifice of praise. I magnify your name. I lift you up because you are great and greatly to be praised. Amen. That when we come into the presence of God, he told us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's how we come into the presence of God. Now, I want to be quick to add this, because it's not just that we do this on a Sunday morning. And I'm glad this morning that we set this time aside. I'd never want to make light of that or even to bring it down to just this little kind of meeting we're having. Because I believe that when we come in together in worship, it's a consecrated time. It's a time that we've given unto the Lord. And when we to our best efforts, we lay everything else aside and we say, Father, I magnify your name. I lift you up. I give you this sacrifice of praise because of what you've done in my life. And because of the sacrifice that was given. David said it this way in Psalm 116. He says in verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer unto thee a sacrifice of thanksgiving. He goes on to say, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So when he says, Lord, I'm paying my vow. Now, you know, when you pay a vow, normally it has to do with something, a promise you've made or something you've said, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And there were obviously times in David's life when he made a vow to God. You can read them throughout his Psalms and the writings there and all his praise. Father, if you will do this, I will do this, God. If you will do this in my life, Lord, I will do this. But here he says, I will pay my vow. What was his vow? His vow was coming together and to worship God for the great things that God had done. He said, I'm going to lift up my voice. I'm going to sing praise unto the Lord. I'm going to call upon you in thanksgiving, and I will pay my vow unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Amen. All his people. A promise. We're paying a vow. We're saying, God, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you, God, that, Lord, you've delivered us. Lord, you've set us free. You've saved us. That sacrifice of atonement has been made on our behalf, God. And because of that, we worship you and we lift you up. Amen. That we consecrate our lives, Lord. Look what he says back in verse 15. He says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Amen. Lord, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. When Solomon dedicated the temple there in 1 Kings, I'm going to turn there to read. I want to read a couple verses from there. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. Just hold your place there. I'll be back in Hebrews there in a second. But in 1 Kings chapter number 8, starting with verse 62 there, listen what Solomon says in regards to this time of dedication of the temple. It says in verse 62, it says, and the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. It says, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord 220,000 oxen. Look at that. 2 and 20, but the next one's a big one. 220,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's quite an expense, isn't it? That he would offer 220,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. It says, so the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. Solomon offered all these animals. He said, oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I could offer that many. I wish I could offer that many oxen. I wish I could offer that many sheep. What a sign of love. What a sign of dedication. It says that he dedicated, when he was dedicating the temple, he offered this unto the Lord. This offering which he offered unto the Lord. We just read over there in Hebrews chapter 10 where it says a sacrifice and offerings you would not. So I would say this morning that when you and I come together and we offer up this sacrifice of praise to God continually, we're really giving more than Solomon gave that day when that temple was dedicated. Why? Because God desires the praises of his people. Man, because of why? Because of what Christ did. We're thankful for the provisions. We're thankful for the atonement. And because of that, we come to God and we say, Father, we give you praise this morning. There's a parallel passage there in Romans, and as soon as I say it, you're going to recognize it because it's one of those verses that are familiar to most believers, and you can probably quote it once I start it. It's over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's the therefore again. Now, it goes back the same way. Romans does the same thing. We studied it not long ago on Wednesday night as we went through the first few chapters of Romans and how that it deals with the atonement. It deals with how we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that was given on our behalf, and that we, being in Christ, now have life eternal. And it says, therefore. And it's the same thing in Hebrews. Hebrews deals with the same thing. It goes all the way through. It talks about the sacrifices, the high priesthood of Christ, and how it's a new and a living way. And then we get to the end, and it says, therefore. Because of what God has done for us, we offer this sacrifice of praise by him. Amen? By him. It says it's your reasonable service. It's the proper service. It's your proper worship. You want to serve? Then we offer ourselves to God. It's our reasonable. It's the proper thing to do. It's the right response for what God has done for us. This is our spiritual act of worship. Now back in verse 15 of there of chapter 13, and I don't want to get away without saying this because it's very important that we say, by him. Amen. Through Jesus. How do we offer the sacrifice of praise? It says, by him, because of what Christ has done. The mercies of God. Because of the great mercies of God. By him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice of praise. So how do we come to God this morning? We don't come in the name of angels. We don't come to the Father in the name of Mary. We don't come through some other deity or some other, we don't call him Allah. We don't, you know, Christ didn't come, as Philippians tells us, and really condescended and came down to our level. And in a sense, he says that he, for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, enduring the cross for the joy set before him. He didn't endure all that and then say, oh, by the way, it really doesn't matter which way you come. This as long as you come. Doesn't matter what name you come in. No, you've got to come to God by him. It's got to be through the name of Jesus. I heard someone, they were quoting a comment that it was Oprah Winfrey that was given a commencement speech there at this college. And I quote her, here's what she said. This is Oprah Winfrey. I don't often quote Oprah Winfrey, but this morning. She says, if you were to ask me what is the secret to my success, it's because I understand that there is a power greater than myself that rules my life and in life. If you can still be long enough in all your endeavors, the good times, the hard times, to connect yourself to the source. I call it God. You can call it whatever you want to. The force, nature, Allah, the power. If you can connect yourself to the source and allow the energy that is your personality, your life force, to be connected to greater force, anything is possible for you. I know I'm not the only one this morning that can say, Oprah, you missed it. Hey, Oprah, you've got to come through the name. Amen. There's no other name given among man whereby we must be saved. The book of Colossians 3 and 17 tells us this, says this, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever we do, when we offer our sacrifice to God this morning, we do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Through the name. There's no other way to God, right? And so as we say, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Continually. We do this continually. It's not really... It could be, you know, the word continually also means through all time. And obviously that holds true. You know, that we offer this praise to God through all time. God's not going to change, right? He's not going to say, oh, well, let's do something different now. There's another way to God. No, it's only through Jesus. And we offer this praise to God continually because of what God has done for us. But also, it can mean that wherever we're at, right, we don't have to wait to come together. Now, in Old Testament times, they had to have, it was a particular time for some of these sacrifices, not all, but there was a particular time, and there was a particular place that these sacrifices had to be offered. Well, with our praise to God, with our sacrifice of praise this morning, we can do it continually. Amen? Isn't it great to be around a saint of God that you just hear, you know, they just sing praises unto God, that they're praising the Lord. And Father, let that be us. And I've got to say this morning that when we really understand what Christ has done on our behalf, when we really see what God has delivered us from, amen, that we will have that thankful heart. Amen. And that we will offer that sacrifice of praise. Now I know, you know, a lot of times we'll look at that phrase and that's perfectly fine, because there's times when it truly is a sacrifice. Now, there's times when you just praise. Man, don't you love that? You just feel like praising. I mean, it's in you, and it's coming out, and you're excited about it. And, you know, I just want to praise God. But we don't always feel like praising, do we? Sometimes, you know, we're going through a storm. Sometimes we're going through a battle. We're facing a hardship. Or someone close to us is facing a hardship. And so often we apply this sacrifice of praise to that and say, well, really, what we're given now is a sacrifice. And I understand that, because we still, and even in the midst of a hardship, in the midst of a battle, you know, we're going to have struggles in our lives. Amen? There's going to be suffering. It's unavoidable. It's just the human condition. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be people in your life that bring hurt into your life because you love them. Amen? When you love someone, how many knows you're opening yourself up to some hurt? That's just the way it goes. All right? And there is no place, no matter this triumphalism that you hear in the Christian world today about, well, this, that, and the other, you know, your life's going to be like this now, from now. There is no place for that in Scripture. No place. As a matter of fact, the examples that we have all throughout Scripture are those that had suffering in their life. And there is no place where it says you're going to get through scot-free. I wish I could say that to you. I say that. In reality, it's probably better for you, because as I think it was a psalmist that said it this way, that when I was afflicted, I learned your ways, or I walked in your ways. And so sometimes suffering comes into our life for us just to say, God, I want to walk in your way. And so, you know, when we think, well, life would be better if there was no suffering, that's probably not reality, really. I mean, yeah, we would think that. But, you know, God has put it this way. He's made it this way. And for whatever reason, he's allowed suffering in the world. And that is always the question. That is always the question that the world goes to. Well, if God was God, there would be none of this. Or there would be no suffering. There would be no bad things that happen to anyone. Well, God is God. God is in control. God has the power to stop anything that comes into our life. But I'll tell you right now, he doesn't always do it. And to think that and to go through with blinders on and not see how that even, you know, Peter in his writing said, think it not strange when you're tried, when the fiery darts come your way. Manifold temptations or many tests that come into your life. Don't think it odd, because that's just what happens. But I'll tell you this morning, that even in the midst of suffering, we can still offer a sacrifice of praise to God. But even, you know, that being identified as a sacrifice of praise, but also just really any praise that we give to God, whether it's in the good times or the bad, this is what God has called us to do. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit is something produced. You know, when you put a seed in the ground, it rains and fruit comes up. The fruit of our lips here is this thanksgiving, this offering of praise to God continually. Hosea, in his call to Israel to return to the Lord, he says it this way, and it's very familiar, written much like Paul has written it here in Hebrews. It says, take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away our iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Amen. Hosea is leading them in a sinner's prayer here, isn't he? He says, pray like this. I used to not like that, but here's Hosea doing it. I don't like to tell people how to pray. I'll tell you, say, go to God, ask forgiveness. Go to the Lord, and ask, well, here's a good prayer. You want to tell someone how to come to the Lord in prayer, saying, Lord, take away all iniquity, and received us graciously through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It says, and so will we render the calves of our lips. Lord, because of the deliverance that you've given in our life, we will offer a sacrifice of praise this morning. And then from there, you know, as often is the case, I spend a long time on the first verse, and I don't have time for the second one. But I'll just read it again, because this first offering of sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I heard it put this way, and I like it in verse 16 there. We've gone from thanksgiving to thanksliving, and that's not original to me. I'm not that clever. But verse 16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. There's two things there. He says, do good and to communicate, which means to impart to others. Now, there's a lot to be said there. Obviously, we impart to others the hope that God's given to us, but also just in our works and our doing of good. Our doing good is a communicating to others. Just a couple verses, or a couple books, really, earlier in Titus chapter number 2. Listen to how Paul writes it there, another familiar verse. He says it this way. Speaking of Jesus, says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people. Lord, help us to be peculiar. Help us, Lord, to be, that word peculiar there, I looked at it, just means beyond usual. It also is a word, sometimes it's interpreted to be zealous, to be a zealot. So we're to be zealous, or we're to be a peculiar people, zealous, he says there, of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Amen. So my message this morning is this. As we come into this season of Thanksgiving, as we think about this upcoming week and all the good things that God has done for us and provided for us, Amen. Let us not forget to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And in the midst of all the people, and as we give thanks to God in word, also in our doing of good. I was just looking at some places there throughout the Bible where, I guess, Paul, when he would write letters to the churches, would often speak of their desire and their ability to give and to meet the needs of other believers, other saints. Over in Hebrews particularly, he talked about God not being unrighteousness to forget their labor of love, to which they showed in that they had ministered to the saints and do minister, so that God will not forget all that we do. He won't forget our sacrifices, will he? Amen? He's a faithful God. And we don't want to cease or forget that God has set us, he's set us apart that we might be zealous to do good. We might be zealous of good works. And that's a part of our lives as a believer, isn't it? God, we come together and we worship. We give praise to you. We give thanks to you. And then we go out into the world and we do good. And here lately, I've just been reading a lot of stories and listening to a lot of the old missionaries and how that they went out into all these regions and different places. And I've been, I shared with them Wednesday night, been listening to a teaching series by Elizabeth Elliot, and she talking about what, you know, how God used her to reach out to these people in these, you know, far-reaching areas, particularly the group that had actually taken the life of her own husband, but yet she went back to them and ministered the gospel to them and continued to serve there. Man, I thought, God, that's what you call forgiveness, isn't it? Wow. But you know what? We can serve right where we're at. We don't have to go. There's a lot of need right here, isn't it? There's a lot of needs right here. Now, you know, we've got a system set up where people can have their natural needs met and, you know, welfare and different things like that. But there's one thing that welfare can't offer, and that's the hope that's in Christ. Amen. That's the life-giving power of Jesus Christ, and it's our desire, Lord, that we declare his goodness. Amen. That we magnify the Lord. When we come together in times of worship, when we come together here and we sing songs of praise, let me invite you to realize you're offering a sacrifice unto God. And as seriously as the high priest would take his role when he went into the most holy place and sprinkled the blood upon that mercy seat, why do you reckon he took it so seriously? Because it was a matter of life or death to him, and also to all the people. And so let us not take lightly and come into the presence of God in a sense of our time of worship, just take it flippantly and say, well, you know, entertain me if you will, or sing a good song and let me tap my foot. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. And let them see our ascent, as it was the queen that came unto Solomon and saw all the riches. But it says when she saw how they went up into the temple, when she saw how her breath was taken from her. She had no breath in her. Because why? Because when we will worship God, I've said it here before. I've been to a lot of churches, and some of them I agreed with, and some of them I didn't agree with as far as what they preached or taught. And there's a lot of doctrine in one church in particular I shared with you. But one thing I've never forgotten about that place, and when I hear the name of it, I still think about it. Those people worshiped. And I may not have agreed with a lot of things. Well, not a lot, but a few of the things. It just wasn't my thing. I mean, they not that they were in some kind of false doctrine or anything, but they just emphasized some things that I probably wouldn't emphasize. But they worshiped. And I've never forgotten that. I was like, God, let us be worshipers. That when people come into our presence here, they say, well, I don't know a whole lot about the people there at Bread Life Fellowship, but boy, they know how to worship. I mean, they know how to lift their hands. They know how to give. That's a thankful bunch. Why are we thankful? Because we know what God has done for us. Amen. We understand how we have been set free. And I love this. If Christ has set us free, amen, whom the Son set free is free indeed. And the last thing I want to do this morning is put another yoke of bondage on you. But I do want to tell you that your sacrifice of praise is just simply your reasonable service. It's a peace offering. It's a love offering. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning, and let's just give a love offering to God. Let's just lift our hands and give God praise and thanks for the great things that he has done for us. Amen. Can we do that today? Father, we do thank you, God. Oh, we are so thankful for your presence here that we felt in this place today. God, we're so thankful for the liberty, Father, for the atonement. God, the price that was paid for our sins. Father, that we can come into your presence with thanksgiving. Father, we can enter into your praise, Lord, your gates, God. Lord, in the holy place, the most holy place of all. Lord, we can come boldly before the throne of grace today. And it's because of what you've done, Lord, the price that was paid. God, besides you, there is no Savior. Lord, besides you, there is no way. But because of the price that was paid on our behalf, God, we can come into your presence and lift up Lord, your name, God, and give you praise today. Lord, we offer this sacrifice of praise, not the blood of bulls and goats, Lord, not the blood of a heifer, God, but just simply our praise and our thanksgiving to God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Lift up his holy name. Father, for thou art worthy of praise and glory. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, God. How we lift up your name. Thou art Alpha and Omega, your beginning and ending, the first and the last, God. Besides you, Lord, above you, there is no other. God, and we give you praise, Lord, today. Holy, holy, holy. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we give you praise for, Lord, the great things you've done in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen, amen.